Hello and welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric Woodworth, and boy, do we got a doozy this time. But we talk a lot about Jeremy in this episode. He's going through some tough times. The big guy is, he can't see up from down. So if you have some words of encouragement, I encourage you to send him a little DM and say, hey, big guy, you got this. You can do it. We're proud of you. We're also joined by returning guest, accomplished musician, and the drummer for Ammo Green, Mr. Blake Sylvia. He's back on the show. Got some fun stories from him. And I got a couple of tales from the road and comedy shows and a venue I'm never allowed to do comedy at again. But if I could implore you to please leave us a 5-star rating on the iTunes, the Stitcher, or whatever platform you listen to us on. Share the show with a friend. It costs you nothing and means the absolute world to us here at the Quality Time Podcast. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for Denzel Washington in Fallen.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Hey, you want to see my Bud Dwyer impersonation?
Yeah, I was about to say.
You ever heard that joke? What's the best way to clean a gun? You put it in the Dwyer. That's a good one.
Didn't they find out that like he would have been innocent? Like he would have been able to get off on
Yeah.
Like, he didn't put a good case for himself.
So. Well, he just basically was like, oh, they got me on something? Well, I'm fucked.
Yeah, this is it.
This is it. I'm not going to jail.
I have to vent.
I told him I'd do this. I told him I'd do it.
Every week of unemployment just gets more and more painful. So.
Right.
Jeremy, what are you with that? By the way, welcome to the Quality Time Podcast, everybody. My name is Eric Woodworth. I'm joined by a guest who's joined us again very recently. He was on a recent episode of Street Trash. A friend, the drummer for Ammo Green, none other than Blake Sylvia. Blake, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you for having me back.
Do you call you Sylvia or is it Silva?
It's Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like Blake because Blake used to be fat and now he's skinny. I have a lot to look
forward to. When was he ever fat?
You've never seen Blake in high school. He was fat
Amazing.
Like me.
I was.
It was dope.
I was. And then what happened was...
And that was the last time I liked you.
I always remember when we were at a party and it was like right after we started hanging out and you were like, man, you guys don't even know. You've met this Blake, but he was not this way.
Yeah, Blake was fat, dude. He was cool.
Were you always a drummer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Were you as fat as the drummer from Tesla?
Yeah.
No.
Have you ever seen the fat drummer from Tesla?
No.
Their first album had a picture of him. Oh, he was big. He's at least 300 pounder.
By the way, that other ominous voice that you hear is none other than my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth, joins us every week.
Hey,
what's up?
Hey,
great
show.
No
impersonation this week. We talk about you possibly committing suicide, nothing.
I'm too down on myself to really be truly entertaining.
I need you up for this.
I'm giving 60% today.
60%? I could take that.
I did two songs for this program. Don't think I didn't put something into it.
That's it. Don't fuck. Call me. Don't tell me I need to do the fucking dishes. Don't tell me jack or shit.
That's right.
And I did have a voice. I did have a voice prepared for this. I just don't feel like it. So,
Jeremy, we were talking about your unemployment earlier, and I feel like we should really flesh this out.
Oh, most of it out with you out in the deck. So I'm almost back to normal again.
What would be your give me your top four jobs that you think you'd be qualified for?
Qualified?
Well, that you'd like and you feel like you're qualified. Jobs that you, let's be realistic, that you could get, that you would like to do, or that you think you'd be good for.
Lots of jobs I could get and people keep turning me down.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about, the turning down part. Like, what do you think, what would be your Mount Rushmore of jobs?
I still have my, I have a friend. Well, not a friend. I have a fellow person I worked with 20 years that might. I would really love to work at Guitar Exchange. Or guitar, whatever center. So
yeah, dude, working at like a Bill's Music or something, like that's your cup of tea, right?
You
there.
You know, you're waiting for that 70-year-old woman to bring in that 58 Strat, and like, I'll give you $50.
Yeah,
guitar goes right into my own pocket. So,
there you,
you
go.
Know?
No, see, that's I will give you $50.
You need to do that.
By
so
the way,
that
I like
you just keep it.
I like right. that you the first thing you do is like, I'd like a job there so I could immediately rip the store
right.
off. Like that was your
hell
first
yeah.
your first go to is
hell
how
yeah.
how can I work the system?
Exactly.
I like that.
Well, you know, you got to figure out how to fuck the world. So.
My son mm-hmm. had this piece of garbage guitar called a Rickenbacker. I don't know what to do with it. Can you
Those
take
are
it?
Crap. I'll take it off your hands, old man, for $50.
It's just like, all
I'm
right.
just going to throw it in the trash.
No, I looked online. I know it's worth at least $65. And I won't go a penny less.
Yeah, if it was in mint condition, old man.
Yeah.
So.
What's
wow.
what's the best deal you've ever gotten on something? Like, what was the like the coolest thing that you ever got that you're like,
easy
I can't believe
me.
I can't this for this price.
Easy for me is my Trayband bass that I got for $100 because the kid who's and the father that sold it to me thought it wasn't working because they didn't replace the 9-volt battery in the active
oh,
pickups.
God.
Which I might have
that
to
That happens
sell,
a so. Lot.
Anyway, yeah, I got an active pickup thing. Yeah, you got to know how to troubleshoot that shit, right, Blake?
But if you didn't know that, I mean, I remember, you know, getting gear when I first was learning how to play and being like, all right, how do I, wait, the drum head's broken. How do I get it off? Because I didn't have a drum key.
Yeah.
Wow.
So how do you get it off without, and if anybody that doesn't know this, a drum key is a very specific
tool.
It's just a square. Yeah.
But it's a pain in the ass to get it off if you don't have one.
It's nice to have at least two or three around when you lose it. So
yeah.
Now you actually wait a second. I assume you actually tune your heads, so it's an actual note.
I try to the best that I can, but I'm not like I'm not one of
okay,
these people
so you
that
at least
it has
can
to be.
Tune
yeah.
it.
If I'm putting new heads on, yes. But if I'm just like having practice before a gig, I'll tune them up. But I'm not just like, oh my god, it's out of tune. I can't play. I can't play. I'm like,
you don't have rototoms, do you?
No.
Oh, I'd love to have rototoms if I was a real drummer.
How about you, Blake? What's the coolest thing you ever picked up? What was the hottest deal you ever got?
That would be lots of vagina.
I'm trying to think
yeah,
of
yeah, I mean, other than that.
Other than the puss from being a drummer.
I did get a pair of, I think they're 12-inch old Zildjian hi-hat cymbals that I got from a guy in another band. And he was like, I broke a bunch of my cymbals on tour, and I was like, well, he goes, if you let me use your cymbals for the rest of the tour, which I think was like 2 or 3 weeks, and he was like, I will give you these hi-hats at the end. I was like, fine, cool.
That's
cool
tight.
By me. So helped somebody out and got something worthwhile that I still use them.
Have you ever broken a hi-hat? I didn't know it was possible to actually break hi-hats, but every other cymbal, it seems like they break.
I had it torqued too tight when I was, and this is like probably, I was probably like, 12 or something, and I was like thinking, oh, well, it plays better this way.
I had the cheapest hi-hats you could possibly, I don't even know what cheap ass brand, but you put it so tight so it actually bends upward.
Oh god, they suck.
Piece of garbage.
That rocks. Oh, that rocks so hard. I can't think of the best deal that I ever got. I guess those free lambskin condoms I got to produce my first child, that would probably be one of the best deals I ever got.
Yeah, condoms that produced a child.
Yeah,
guaranteed
yeah.
to change your life.
Life-changing right there. That was.
But when you have sex with them, it's good to think about sheep.
Well, that's why I got them. I was like, my original, I was like, ooh, it'll be like fucking a real sheep.
And we call those dirty rednecks filthy.
Honey, could you put this on? This is a wool sweater. Why do you want me to wear this? And I was like, just do it. I mean, for me, it's kind of something I'm into. It's like, it's not even Christmas right now. I'm like, oh, it's Christmas right now, baby.
So I have to ask you guys.
Yeah.
I meant to bring this up earlier, but did any of you guys go to BronyCon?
No. Jeremy usually goes every year.
I was the last one, apparently. I've never gone. I've always just seen people at the convention center just dress. It's so random. It's one of the funniest things you can ever see in public. And it's great because like people just looking around, it's like I can't believe it's over.
Chance of seeing the most pedophiles in one place. So,
well, I wouldn't say they're pedophiles. They're definitely sexual deviants. It's funny if you bring up bronies as people who do weird things, like as if they're a subsect of furries. They get really defensive.
Yeah.
Although, if you go on Reddit and you look up bronies, and then you look up the subreddit that's underneath that, so it's like bronies is like 20,000. The subreddit for clopping, which is clopping is when two bronies have sex with each other. That subreddit has about 100,000 people. So, I'm not making up the market here.
Right.
These guys are dressing up as My Little Pony and fucking each other, okay? This isn't... Hey. Listen, the internet don't lie.
Right.
So
there's clearly a market to watch these freaks go ahead and have a little fuck
fest. It's like how some dudes wear makeup. Like, not everybody does it, but some people do.
Do you want to know what I think is so funny? It's like... If they ever made like a brony movie, like a documentary,
they
or
did.
Like a well, not documentary. Like if they made a feature length film,
okay.
I would hire Ving Rhames to play one of the
like
bronies.
A biopic.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
And then he'd be like, "I'm about to get equestrian on your ass," and then like, that's the only thing I wanted to bring
now,
up.
And I'm guessing for all the bronies, it's the guy who does the Purple Pie Man prefers to take on the manly role of having sex with the bronies.
I would think so. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Or just like a real sexy Rainbow Bright, or a good looking sexy Strawberry Shortcake to really tame these bronies. Am I wrong there?
Yeah, nah,
I will
think you're right.
Rape you now.
My name is Skeletor Brony. Welcome to Fucktown.
Isn't Purple Pie Man the same voice as Skeletor?
I'm just imagining like a brony like Skeletor though, with like the skull and everything, and just
yeah.
I think that'd be funny.
Don't make it weird, Blake.
I'm just saying it'd be hilarious.
Oh man, you know, guys. Yesterday I went and did a show. Up in at the Boomy Temple. Are you guys familiar with the Shriners and the Boomy Temple?
Did they have their little their go-karts there?
No, there's no go-karts. Yeah. There's lots of pictures with the guy with the little Shriners hats, but they weren't wearing them. Rob Mayer booked me for the show. Average age here,
80.
I'm 65, I would say, is the average age. Not plenty of 80-year-olds there, don't get me wrong. So I had to do a clean set last night, and didn't do great, but to be fair, nobody did. So they were more people that laughed on the inside.
Like, right, I gotcha.
That's a knee slapper.
If I could breathe, I would laugh.
I do it in between every emphysema breath. That's where my laughter comes.
I need to up my oxygen so I can laugh.
No, but there was this this old timer. Listen, as a comedian, you get people that come up to you almost every show. They're like, either A, they were like, "Hey, let me tell you this joke, buddy. Hey, let me tell you about this one."
Hey, man,
like,
I got a joke for you.
Hey, you ever heard this one before? Let me tell you about that, right? Well, I used to hate this, but now I've actually been collecting these jokes. Mm-hmm. I've been collecting them now. Now I'm working on a collection of every joke that somebody tells me after a show. They're like, "You're going to love this one, buddy." All right? Like that?
You're a funny dude, so you're going to like this.
So honestly, 99% of them are just using the N-word.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kidding, but it would be funny.
You ever heard of the N-word before? No.
Let me tell you this joke. Look both ways.
So he goes... No, this guy tells me this long-winded joke. He's just like, "You know, have you heard about Donald Trump?" And we're like, "Never heard of him. Who's that?"
Never, never.
Like, there's probably nothing to write about there. And he was like, "Yeah, there was a Secret Service guy, and a Secret Service fella comes out, and it was the first day on the job, and he saw some guy with a gun, and he yelled out, 'Mickey Mouse!' And, you know, they apprehended the fella and got him down. Some of the other Secret Service guys came up to him and said, 'Hey, Why'd you yell out Mickey Mouse?' He was just like, 'Well, I was really nervous and everything. You know, it's my first day. I meant to yell Donald Duck.'"
What?
That was it. Donald Duck. I meant to yell Donald Duck.
That put me over the edge. I'm officially killing myself
so,
now.
So... So this sweet
gone and done.
This sweet old man, okay? This sweet old man who just told me this wonderful joke, which we all knee slapped. We gave a big old knee slap right after it happened. I was like, "Hey man, I got a good joke for you." I was like, "What's the best way to get a dog to stop humping your leg?" And he's like, "How?" He's like, "You pick it up and suck its dick." And then I walked away.
So did anybody stick around to see his reaction, like any of your friends?
Yeah, they saw it. He was like, like that.
And he died.
Yeah, and then he was, now he's dead. So,
they called the ambulance.
R.I.P. Stu Hart, the guy who was there. So, no, that was fun. I had a blast with that. I have one other interesting story to share.
I wish there was an enemy mine joke somewhere in there.
Oh, I did a show with Schlags about a week ago, Jeremy, out in Annapolis, Maryland. He booked me on this thing, and it was a nice little paid gig or whatever. I opened up the show, and the whole place just been renovated. I can't remember the name of the venue, but it has like all this tchotchke shit everywhere. Like it has like a deer head that has glasses. There's like a pair of ice skates and a sled over here. Just random ass tchotchke shit all over the walls.
Like a Bennigan's.
Yeah, like a Bennigan's or like Ed Gein's fucking shed. Right,
oh,
that's
what
it's
with sunglasses. That's crazy.
Just like Eddie Gein likes to put up, right? So I started shitting on this place just for like the last like the first 5 minutes. Of my set, I did nothing but shit on the decor, and people in the crowd, they're loving it. They're fucking eating it up, laughing their asses off. I have like what I consider to be not a 10 out of 10 set, but like a 9 or an 8 somewhere.
That's
great
good.
Set, great set, yeah. Right for a packed house. So I was happy with it, right? We get off, and I get paid up or whatever, and Justin, I see Justin at the next show. We have a murder mystery later in the week, and he was just like, oh, yeah, talk to the owner of that place. He was like, yeah, he decorated that entire place. All of us are welcome back except you. You are fucked right now. So I fucked myself out of future gigs by shitting on his shitty ass
thing.
Great.
You made fun of the tchotchke.
He didn't get the fact that you're a comedian and that's what you do.
I was just like,
you did your job and you got paid for it. He can't be mad about that.
Honestly, of all the things that I could get booted for, I'm actually kind of proud of this, that I shit on somebody's decor so hard that I'm not going to go back to this bar in Annapolis to be able to perform again. I'll live. I think I'll be okay.
Did we... I don't assume you listening to every episode, and that's totally cool, Blair.
We'll get my name
Blake,
right first.
Blake?
Block?
I was going to say Blaine, and I know that's so fucking wrong and funny.
Fuck you for that.
His name's Blaine? No, seriously. Did you hear... Can you play one of the songs that I played for to Justin that you asked me to do for the...
Yeah, but we did that all last episode, though. Okay. You're trying to bring up old shit again,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah,
we can't be fucking doing that.
Wanna,
what about our listeners?
I can go back and listen, bro.
I want to drive it home.
Okay, which song did you want, Jeremy?
The one or the two best, just for Blake.
One of the two best?
You know which one.
So here's a song that Jeremy did for 98 Rock. We talked about this all last episode.
I'll make this
he made
quick.
A bunch of drops, okay? And they didn't play any of them. But he made 9 of them.
Well,
none of them made it. Maybe
whatever.
You can guess why they didn't
and
make the air.
And I haven't gotten a job
just by
this
listening.
Week, this,
okay.
this month either.
All right, so here's one of here's an example, Blake.
I like the feedback.
Maybe it's because I used the word motherfucker in the promo. It wasn't
maybe
good.
It's because there's like 4 out of the 5 out of the 9 you use the F-bomb.
Right.
Well,
that's a big no-no.
I heard people cuss on the radio all the time. I mean,
that's
you know.
Like serious radio, not on regular broadcast radio.
So,
yeah.
So I wanted to at least thank Justin, if I didn't thank him last episode, for at least trying. And I heard I got to a round table where other people judged it how shitty it was. But at the
same
time,
it was the condiments table. But it just happened to be round.
But at the same time, I'm gonna ask it if any of the listeners can actually call up 98 Rock and see if they can play one of these songs.
Yeah,
on the radio.
Demand Jeremy's song be played.
And even if they make fun
let
of me,
let your voices be heard.
Even if they
uncensored.
If they make fun of how shitty it is, just like with Chris Restivo being on 98 Rock, I just want to feel as if I've reached that Chris Restivo plateau of actually being on 98 Rock and being made fun of. So
hey, shout outs to my boy Justin Schlegel in the 98 Rock Morning Show, because I got us a shout out for the Quality Time podcast. He gave us a big old shout out in the morning show earlier this week, so thanks Justin Schlegel.
So we are
going to
be in the
listener.
100,000s this week.
Yeah, now Jeremy, you've since this has happened, you think it's all Scott Reardon. You think Scott Reardon has railroaded you.
Yeah, because I make fun of Scott as the producer, which he hasn't been for like 5 years now. So.
Yeah, well, you shit on him, and then you're surprised that it doesn't get through because of that.
I think I insulted him years ago when I said, "Man, I love it so much more when I love Justin so much more than Scott." I mean, Scott's terrible, and Scott literally texted me back, I don't know, like a half hour later, he's like, "Oh yeah, you must be the less talented brother on Quality Time, or the less talented Woodworth brother," which I was like, "That's awesome." So I think I text back to him, I was like, "Thanks for giving me more attention than my father ever gave me."
That is true, Jeremy. See, Jeremy, I would say we have equal talents, but in different fields. Like, I have a way, I think I can make people laugh a little bit better with you. You strike fear into people much better than I ever could.
Nobody's ever liked me in life, even my own wife.
Hey, so. Jeremy, speaking of fear, I wanted to bring this up. Did you see that link that I sent you? That the Alamo Draft House is having a special
all
screening of It Chapter 2, where at every Alamo Draft House, it's a clown only showing. So if you dress as a clown, that's the only way you can go to see this.
You will see me far fucking away from that. I will not be anywhere near that.
Did I tell you what Jeremy did? Maybe, Blake, you're not familiar with this, but if you go back in the archives, you can hear this. I took Jeremy to go see It Chapter 1 with him and his lovely wife. We're sitting near the front row because that was the only seats that were left at the AMC. And Jeremy gets up midway through the movie, and he comes back, like he went to the bathroom, but when he comes back, full clown makeup.
Oh my fucking God.
As he's coming back, okay, as he's coming back to sit down, I hear people behind me go, "Oh my God." Like this. So I immediately, as soon as the credits roll, I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here right now. So I get up and I leave. Jeremy, by the way, is sitting at the front just waving, "See you later, everybody."
Oh my God.
There is a lady who's terrified to come down. She won't fucking come down while Jeremy's at the front. She's waiting for him to leave.
Yeah.
And she's like a scared corner animal.
That would have been me.
Oh, it's
like,
so good.
Not because I know Jeremy, it would be okay, but like, I'm no joke. I fucking know.
Are you uncomfortable going? Oh, yeah. It was funny because I texted this to Tommy Zimbazo, and he was like, Jeremy shows up to the premiere. He goes, "Hello, I'm Jeremy of House Juggalo reporting for my. reporting for duty."
I hate to say, every once in a while when I go to these horror shows, there'll be like the people that egg me on to just fuck with certain people that they know are extra scared
of
clowns.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I'm like,
okay. Our friend David Ostrander's like that.
And I'm not really cool with it because I'm like, you know, I like people that come up and take pictures with me, not like scare the fuck out of my friend who's already scared of clowns. I swear, this one guy, he's like, "Hey, scare her." I literally came up to her and did like the typical clown thing to scare her. Almost in a fetal
pulled out your
almost,
penis.
Almost
yes.
in a fetal position scare, and had to be talked down for like at least 5 to 10 minutes. I'm like, "Oh, good, that's a good job. I feel proud."
Hey,
so.
thanks for letting me traumatize a woman. I appreciate that.
Truly, truly terrified to almost not being able to speak and crying. So,
Jeremy, are you going to go to this premiere? Are you going to go to the Alamo Draft House?
Probably not.
We can get it Quality Time funded to go see
That'd
it.
That'd be great.
Well,
as you've been carrying me, much like my wife has.
If you make it a content for the show thing, and you go take a camera with you and record what happens, then we'll pay for you to go see
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Show. Because I have no money otherwise.
There you go. And that, this is pretty much a gig.
Right and now. I don't like clowns.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm willing to throw in.
Well, hopefully you'd still be part of the Pogo Funhouse Band. So.
The Pogo Funhouse Band featuring Jeremy Woodworth.
And you know, if you have a wig that can make you more look like Manson, so you got the beard now. So
before we get too much further,
like
we're going to move
swastika?
This. Mm-hmm. We're going to move this episode along.
I'm not going to go that far.
We got to move the episode along. We have a couple of Joe Robinson corrections.
Hey, Joe Robinson, do you have any corrections for us this week?
Okay, so Joe Robinson corrections for this week. Now, this is in response to our Batman episode, our Bat Music episode, which would be two episodes prior to this one coming out. This is Joe Robinson going out. When talking about sweating in the literal physical sense, the past tense of sweat is sweat. Not, I guess I must have said not sweated.
Sweated.
So I said sweated, and he just said it's supposed to be sweat.
Thank you. The past is sweet.
So that's
sweeted.
I sweeted. Yes. I've been sweeted. I sweeted it all day. All I know is that if it goes further, you just add an extra ED. So can you give me some artificial sweetened ED? And then he goes, I'm going back to listen, but Rick James' text was a correction. Once again, this is directed at me. You use infer when you mean to say imply. Okay, yeah, that's accurate. That's a thing that I do because I speak at a sixth grade level. That makes sense, Joe. Now, this is Joe saying, regarding LeVar Burton, somebody that we brought up in the show from Star Trek The Next Generation and Reading Rainbow, you just did it again. When discussing Robin and I didn't, oh, and his last, I guess this is what he's saying. I use the word infer instead of imply when talking about LeVar Burton and also when discussing Robin. And Joe's last comment about it is, I didn't understand that episode at all. That was it.
Because of my reference to LeVar Burton?
That was it. That was it. Yeah, those are Joe Robinson's corrections for last week.
You really need to know your cameo video where LeVar Burton shows up as the mean cop who's going to shut down Cameo.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the same video because it's a black person making a video. So
that makes sense.
So word up.
Respect that.
Word up.
Is that the one where he's like wearing the red cod piece?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell you know it, baby.
I knew
Hell
it.
Yeah.
Word up.
I remember that was LeVar Burton.
So this week, boys, we got a movie. This is the one that Todd Fleming was supposed to do, but he's fucked us on multiple weeks now. So
we
he's
went out of our way to do a black movie.
Yeah, yeah. So we picked the blackest movie that we could. And instead of getting Todd Fleming, we got the next best thing.
Yeah.
A very white drummer who plays for Ammo Green, a reggae band. So
yes.
Close enough to a black person. This week, we're doing 1998's... we're doing 1998's Fallen, a Denzel Washington film. And Jeremy, you wrote us a nice little song that I'm going to share with us right now.
Yeah.
This is Jeremy's Fallen song.
Oh, you can barely hear the lyrics. Oh, there you go.
I like the Denzel laugh that you put in.
It's horrible. Gosh.
You did put this together, didn't you?
Yes. It's not a good mix. Tom.
Yeah. The Denzel laugh is strong. Now, is that from the movie Fallen? Did you rip
that's from? That's actually Training Day. So.
I think when
Ethan Hawke takes his first hit. So
okay, makes sense. I like it. Well, Jeremy, now you're strongest of all.
It might have been from X. I don't know.
That was from Malcolm X. The part
where he was like, kill a white person. Yeah.
good bit. So, Fallen, though, has a bit of a star-studded cast, man. I mean, this has John Goodman, Donald Sutherland in it. You ever heard of a little actor called James Gandolfini? All in this film, everybody. Yep. So it's a pretty star-studded extravaganza. Also plays the main bad guy is played by the gentleman who played Casey Jones from the original Ninja Turtles film.
I was actually telling my mom this earlier because I stopped by my parents' house and I was saying, I will always know that guy as Casey Jones. Mm-hmm. Every time I hear his voice in any film, like, he's done, I think, a couple shows, too.
Yeah.
I always am like, Casey Jones.
He
Casey
plays
Jones.
An exorcist in some other movie, too, where there's he's trying to exorcise demons. I can't remember what movie it is.
No, Elias Koteas is he's actually a Baltimore actor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so...
I'm trying to think of what this other movie, because in this film he plays the main demon in the opening sequence. Maybe it's Prophecy. Is that what it is? Is it Prophecy? No, it's not that. I need to know his other movies. I don't know. He's in, I think it's a movie with Eric Bana. I don't know, where he's like a cop and there's like a demons and shit like that. And he's like the main guy in that too. So this isn't his, decent actor. Okay. And we're not going to blow it out of the proportion. He is what he is. He's a good character actor.
Yeah.
You know? But this is a pretty, I don't know. I remember watching this movie back in the day and really loving it and never watching it again. That's, it's just one movie I never watched twice, ever.
I hadn't seen it since, like I told you, since probably when it came out, and going back and watching, I was like, why? Why?
Yeah. Well, we'll get into it. It's a movie that's ripe for an extra twist in it, and it doesn't have that, right? Like, it's just like, it kind of sets you up as this thriller that, like, all right, here's the twist, and you're like, okay, but where's the real twist?
Right.
Like this. No, it doesn't have the twist.
Is seeing it the second time and you realize why the narration is the way it is.
No, I get that. And don't get me wrong, I understand that. But this movie, I don't want to spoil the ending for the people who haven't seen it yet, but we'll get to that at the end. It could have used a better twist, if I'm going to be honest with you. And I'll share with you what the twist I think should have been. But let's get into it. Let's start it off. The movie starts off fast and hot as we see Denzel Washington writhing around in pain on the ground as he starts to narrate the beginning of this film.
I want to tell you about the time I almost died. I never thought it would happen to me. Not at this age. Beaten. Outsmarted. How did I get into this fix? How did it all begin? No. If I go back to the beginning, that'll take forever. So let's start more recently. Somewhere. Anyway. Greece.
So it's the execution night of a convicted killer named Reese. Now, Reese is played by Elias Koteas. He's playing Edgar Reese, a convicted serial killer who's on death row, and it's his execution night. John Hobbs is played by Denzel Washington. That's the gentleman you just heard right there. Now, Denzel talks to basically the chief of police, who's played by Donald Sutherland. He's playing Lieutenant Stanton. Hobbs then goes in and has a brief interaction with Reese within his cell. Now, while he's talking to him, he speaks to him in multiple languages. There's that neither Denzel or the audience can understand. There's no subtyles
Egyptian, Aramaic, or English.
It's some creepy voice.
And then he leaves him with a bit of a riddle.
I think it's Yiddish.
Oh, indeed you do. Do you like riddles?
No, I don't.
Here's a beaut. Why is there a space between lions and Spikowski?
What?
Come on, you should know this one, pal. You should know this one. Open your eyes. Look around sometime.
So a rather cryptic thing.
A day, a week, a month. The Ankel size is doch machst.
What are you, Nazi now?
Terrible German, by the way.
It's Dutch.
Dutch. It
goes around.
Yeah.
I'll be looking for you.
So he leaves him as this man's about to go on death row. And they start up this fucking good old Rolling Stones music.
Ladies, gents, cocksuckers, pederists, I hope you all enjoy the show. Yes, I do.
What happens if Mick actually came out like that before he started the song? Like, that would be, like, so badass if he was just like, look, everybody!
What's up, you pederists? So,
you!
And then somebody gets stabbed.
So, we see him loaded up into the gas chamber, and he's still singing as he goes in there. Just what we need.
Can I say
the devil to have the liberal media on his side. Time magazine.
I think a better choice would have been Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper.
If you look, you will, and you will find me.
Time after time. I'm a demon.
I'm a demon who I will eat your soul. Time after time.
But of course they couldn't afford Cyndi Lauper. They went for the Stones instead, so...
That you want to be free.
I will say...
I'll come running back.
They changed that lyric, by the way.
Yeah. So the gas comes in, he holds his breath, and you can see him holding it, and he's starting to turn red. He inhales. As the noxious fumes
something is
kill him.
Happening. But when it happens,
but we can see
people don't always see it.
We see the disembodied soul of Reese leave his body and inhabit another form. A guard within the Max Security prison. So, yeah, basically he's a weird demon that now is inhabiting somebody else's body, essentially. spoiler alert.
It's a parasite.
Don't you hate it when you try to kill a serial killer and he's just a demon that's going to invade another body?
Not to really give anything away from this film, is it kind of just destroys the whole point of him actually going to the gas chamber. It's like, if he can go from body to body to body, why is he even in jail? Why is he even caught?
Well, yes, you know? The way they establish it very soon, this makes no sense that he's gotten himself to a death chamber situation.
Right.
Like he could just touch somebody and go into somebody else, which we'll find out soon enough.
Right.
Well,
he didn't even do that initially because he...
No, I think he touched what's his name, Denzel, but apparently if he didn't go through him, then he's going to do his little special spell on him, so... Mm-hmm.
Well, and also... Did he actually suck that dude's dick? Because that's probably how the guy got the parasite. They just cut that scene out.
And of course, he goes through his dick to get into his body. So,
hey, what's going on? hey, it's good to see you, Dr. Shaw. I'm here again. Yeah, what seems to be the problem, Hobbs? This is going to be a tough one. So, I was at a party. It was really good. It was a rave out of jail. And I met this really nice guy. His name is Reese. He sucked my dick. Okay. And do you need an STD check? How are you? How are you at Aramaic rites? Because I think he put a demon soul into my penis. That's what I'm getting at, essentially, here. So
I didn't comment before the guy that did the music, Dan Tun, very, I guess, a Chinese music guy, is like probably the best didgeridoo soundtrack of any movie ever made. So.
Oh yeah.
I like how that's like the scary like music for it. It's not like ominous. It's like. It's good.
So after that, after the execution, the old boys, all the cops head back to the bar and have a couple beers to celebrate murdering some guy in the name of the state. So
number eight, by the way.
Yes. So Lou, who's played by James Gandolfini of Tony Soprano fame, asks Hobbs if he's willing to take a little bit of cream, which is a code word for bribes. You know what I'm talking about? Yay!
No, as in never. This is a big city,
Bye.
You got a tradition out there.
You got something wrong with your ears. Man says something, he says it. So
that's John Goodman, if you don't recognize it.
Shut
partner.
Up, Donnie!
Pathetical. You know, a cop was trying to make ends meet, you know, wants a little something on the side.
I don't like cream. And I don't judge.
You don't judge. It's a fucking saint, huh? So you're telling me that under no circumstances would a holy man like you ever, you know, break the law or do something?
Look, Lou. I can jump across the table, right? Snatch your heart right out of your chest. My bad. Squeeze the blood I've been sticking in your front pocket. I could do that.
Yeah?
Yeah. If I lost control. But if I did, I would be no different than the people we bust. Now, as to your general question, you take any cop out on the force, cream or no, 99% of the time, they're doing their job, aren't they?
99.5.
So he or she, cream or no, is doing more good out there on the street every day than any lawyer or stockbroker or president of the United States can ever do in their lifetime. Cops are the chosen people.
Amen.
What he means to say is, if I took a bribe, I'd be no better than a Baltimore cop. So, this is Philly.
They really missed an opportunity to put some Wu in there. The Wu-Tang Clan. Cream.
So,
know your Wu-Tang.
So, we also get to meet Jonesy there, who you heard. That's John Goodman. He plays Jonesy. Very star-studded cast. We're just laying down the groundwork here. The bed of this film.
John Goodman is awesome. I think he's great in this movie.
Dude, he is good. He's very good. And you're going to see a lot more of him as it progresses here. So, next we see our disembodied killer making his way around town. Basically, there's a montage of him going from person to person just by touching them. He's able to jump into other people's bodies, and the guy he finally settles on walks over to his boss and tells him to shove a sandwich up his ass, which is a very strong statement. Because Jeremy, what if you got inherited put in this demon went into you? What do you think the demon would say to your wife?
I don't know.
Why don't you shove these dishes up your ass? Yeah. Do you think that would be good?
Yeah, and then she'd kill me.
And then she would kill you, and that would be the end of that demon, let me tell you. So, we see Denzel's home life. It's just him and his nephew and his kind of autistic brother, I guess. His brother has some type of learning disability,
at first,
right?
I was like, this is a progressive movie. This is like, this is 1998. And they were throwing it out there like that. I mean, this is a ballsy movie. Yeah. It takes chances.
they said in the IMDb, it's not obvious that they're in a Philadelphia. It's like, no, they're going to Geno's and Pat's
right
next to each other.
But
so.
I guess if you're not from the East Coast, you might not know that.
Right.
Especially 98 when like the internet was just like being used.
Yeah. What is Geno Pats? I don't know. It sounds like a high tech white trash facility that's making the new form of Guido for the next Jersey Shore 2025, you know? I am Geno Pats. Welcome to my hairspray that is stronger than any other hairspray that's ever been made.
My hair looks like an action figure.
So,
hey, Jay Wow, get over here.
So you know the actor that he lands on next, right?
I don't remember it, but I've seen him in other things, Jeremy. Tell us about this actor that he's landed on.
Robert Joy, who I think I had a chance to meet, I think, at Chiller. To me, I remember him most in the Land of the Dead.
Yeah, he's a dead-eyed guy in Land of the Dead.
The guy with the burnt-up face, I think. But also, he's Colonel Stevens in Alien vs. Predator Requiem. And in the superhero movie, he also plays Dr. Hawking. So.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Small world.
Oh, also, in The Hills Have Eyes, he was Lizard. So. But he's getting up there. He'll get another good role someday. So
we meet the Denzel's family. Like I said, young nephew and his brother that lives with him, who's very mentally challenged, it seems, in some way. We also see our murderer at the same time. He's eating, brushing his teeth, and we see he's already killed someone else, and he's laying them down in the tub. So Jonesy and Hobbs, Jonesy again is John Goodman, Hobbs is Denzel Washington, they get a call to the man about the man in the tub. They head over to this guy's apartment. He has 18 puncture wounds in his body. They notice that the killer stayed around for a while. He had a bottle of cereal, which we saw earlier in the last scene.
Maybe it was a suicide.
They then find a bizarre clue on the wall that says Lions question mark Spankowski, which happens to be the exact same thing that we heard earlier our serial killer said to Hobbs.
If I was writing the script for this movie, I'd have Denzel say something like, it's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
Well, just like brush it off.
Exactly.
Now, Lou, who's James Gandolfini, he says he remembers Spankowski on the force. He was a real dick, and takes him down to the basement of the police station where he shows him the plaque where Spankowski is there. Where Spankowski's name on the plaque is, there's another name that says Lions, and there is a something missing.
There's a name missing.
I like that they incorporated a Resident Evil-esque, like, this is a plot you find in Resident Evil, like, ooh, find the missing placard to open this door, to find the fucking next thing that's going to murder you.
You have to put your hand into the really dirty toilet to pull out the plaque that actually said the guy's name.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
it was really funny, too, when he mentions the fact that he knew the name Spankowski. Mm-hmm. He was eating, like, one of those chicken, like, legs that you get at the Renaissance Festival. Like, literally, it was that big, and he's just like, like, you can barely hear what he's saying, and then that's why Denzel's like, what?
I can't talk now. I'm eating right now. Can't you see that?
Take you in the basement in a couple seconds.
So it's more like a turkey leg is what you're saying.
Lou, are you gonna actually cook that turkey leg before you eat it? Hey, don't fuck it. Are you my mom? Leave me alone. I eat raw bird. Meh. Look at me. I like it fresh and natural.
Woke up this morning. Got yourself a gun.
Got yourself some salmonella. So Denzel then goes home and uses his sweet browser. He pulls up the 1998 internet, and it's called Web Crawler. Are you guys familiar with Web Crawler? You guys big fans of using Web Crawler?
Is that search engine for MySpace?
We should see if that's even around.
It's actually the only way you can look up Spider-Man-based internet content in 98 is to look up Web Crawler. He's able to find out who the missing cop is in between the new names, in the two names, and it's a guy named Milano from 1965 who ended up dying in a quote-unquote gun accident, because we know about how all those gun accidents be, am I right, boys?
What rating would you say Milano cookies are for you?
Where do I rate a Milano cookie? Yeah. I mean, it's not in my, it doesn't make it anywhere near my top 10, I would say, but I don't hate one's around. Like, I like to have a Milano cookie every once in a while.
It's in my top 5.
You think so? Yeah. Milano cookie makes top 5 for you?
For me.
You know what, another thing that would have been favorite if he was actually found out that his name was Billy Milano.
Yeah. What do you think's better? Rate your Milanos, okay? 1 to 3. Billy, Cookie, or Alyssa? Where do you rate
Alyssa
them?
Alyssa Milano.
Yeah. Hell, I put Alyssa number 1, personally. Yeah. I put the Milano Cookie, and I put Billy 3rd. Jeremy, where are you at on that?
I'm a big fan of Who's the Boss. I mean,
yeah, that's number 1, right?
She has just been so hot and spankalicious for so many years.
You know, Alyssa Milano still is good looking. She's not bad.
Although she's too
fine wine.
She's too outspokenly political now, so she makes number 2.
Yeah, she's into, like, get this. She's against fucking childhood rape, and I'm like,
exactly.
Really? Like, you're gonna be against that? Like,
I actually thought the actress in this movie was her, but then I was like, no, she wouldn't have been
age. That's the lady from Matilda, but we'll get to her soon enough. So He goes up, Denzel then goes up and brings this information to Lieutenant Stanton, who's played by Donald Sutherland. He seems like he's not super interested in him tracking down info about Milano, and he tells him to keep it to yourself, whatever you find. So, next...
That was that guy that was taken over by a demon, so don't talk about it.
You probably don't want to bring up the human bunny snatchers thing around Donald Sutherland.
Yeah, he gets real touchy about it.
Isn't it ironic?
So, Jonesy, John Goodman, and Denzel, they get a tape from the execution night, and they start to analyze the languages that he was speaking, and Hobbs goes out to follow a new lead. Now, as Hobbs goes to go track down Greta Milano, that's the daughter of the dead cop, his next of kin, his daughter is played by none other than the lady from Matilda, who's M. Beth Davids. I don't think that's a Jewish name. It could be any type of name. I'm sure it's not Jewish in any type of way. But here is the interaction. A lot of good info here from Greta Milano.
You say nothing to your boss or your partner. Nothing goes in the files. My name and everything I say is just between us. Is that agreeable?
Will I get a cup of coffee if I say yes?
Detective, my dad was a good cop. Pride of the force and all that, and then he shot himself. A reporter found out my father had been under investigation. He'd caught a killer, but copycat crime started. Evidence mounted up against him, fingerprints, witnesses. The press never got real proof, but my father's medal was rescinded.
I see. So you're saying that when he died, someone made this evidence go away?
The mayor, the governor, chief of police. They all needed a hero, and some of these people are still important today.
I see.
No, not yet. You don't. My father saw the evidence against him. Told my mother he didn't stand a chance to beat it, so he went to this cabin in the mountains. It's a place that's been in my mother's family for generations. He went there and...
Well, let's just say he found... Have you ever heard of Monopoly? He went up there and played it for 9 hours straight. He was the first person to actually finish a game of Monopoly. So, drove him to the point of madness.
Okay, name the other big role that M. Beth Davis played.
I already said Matilda.
Something bigger than that.
She's been in a lot of stuff, though. She's been in
There's
multiple movies.
There's only one movie you need to say. Do you want me to give you a hint?
Sure, yeah. What's the one that you think is the right answer?
There's only one movie that really matters.
There's not probably a bigger movie than Matilda that she's been
there's
in.
There's a very bigger movie.
Well, maybe to you, but I doubt that it's bigger.
It's very big to you, too.
Okay, what is it? Well, give me a hint.
First you want to kill me, now you want to kiss me.
Oh, yeah, she's the... Blow. She's
Sheila.
Army of Darkness. Yes. It's still... That's not a bigger movie than Matilda. I mean,
who cares about a kid's movie, Matilda? I mean, we're talking Army of Darkness here, man.
I forgot that she is the love interest of that.
I may be bad, but I feel good. Honey, you got ugly real quick.
All right, so we got.
Oh God.
We got a little bit more info from Milano here.
Some roles, they just sink in real, real good.
The thing is, Detective, I know my father was innocent of those murders.
How do you know? How do you know he was innocent?
It's 30 years ago. It's not important anymore.
Well, it's important to me, Miss Milano. Don't you want the truth to come out? Don't you want the killer to be punished?
Of course I do.
But are you afraid that if you tell me your life may be in danger or something like that?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yes. Do you believe in God?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I go to church every now and then. What I see in my line of work, faith's a little hard to sustain.
Good luck.
Yeah, I've watched Bruce Almighty every weekend.
Look, there's not things you got to worry about. What's on cable tonight? You want to watch something? Oh, look, The Incubus is on. That looks like a good movie we can watch together about demon rape. I'm Denzel Washington. Gosh. I want to apologize to all black people for my impersonation of Denzel Washington.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. What's going on, Miss Milano? Look at you, man.
I like how when she asked him, do you believe in God? And he was like, you know, I go to church.
Yeah, he sometimes. Literally just, he goes, he literally just pulls like, yeah, I mean, Jesus is just okay with me. I mean, he's all right.
I mean,
Jesus
he had just all right
with me. Jesus is just all right. No, that makes sense. It's funny because Denzel plays in a lot of movies. He plays a guy that's lost his faith. You understand? Yeah. Like Man on Fire, he's that character. He's that in this. He's always a guy that's like struggling. He's like, I know what the Bible says. I'm just like, I'm struggling with my faith, though. Like that.
And Glory.
And Glory. Yeah. Every yeah. single film. You know, he's just
John
a guy.
Q.
Guy trying to understand how the old faith system works. So, next we see our killer, Reese, was... next, we see the guy who Reese was living in for the last couple of days back at home, trying to put his life back together. That is the actor that you said is from Land of the Dead and
Robert
stuff
Joy.
Like that, Robert Joy. When all of a sudden, Reese in a new body, this demon comes back in a new body, bursts through the door, and basically comes in and fucks shit up.
You are Mary Queen of Scots.
He stabs that poor fella multiple times with a syringe and then sits down, pours himself a bowl of cereal, and starts eating.
And do you know who this guy is?
No. Who's this guy?
He was the auto shop owner in Blue Streak.
Okay. It's the small, the more you know.
Of course. Everybody knows that role.
Blake, this They're is like, why we have you on the show. This is why. Because when I think Jeremy's giving me the most obscure reference that we could get, you just come and pull this out of your ass.
I was like, that's the fucking guy from Blue Streak, the Martin Lawrence movie. He's like, you need to stop eating, what did he say? Stop eating sandwiches. It's seeping out your pores.
Wow.
Love Bruce Jenner.
Hell yeah, dude. So next, Hobbs and Jonesy are going over the case when Jonesy gets a call from, Jonesy basically makes this one statement. I pulled this audio and I thought it was so good because it's such a John Goodman-y statement that he makes here.
Role written for him, by the way.
Yeah, this is the most John Goodman you're ever going to hear John Goodman is this line right here.
Anything on Moscovich?
Only the pizza.
Now we're hitting your area of expertise, huh, Jonesy?
Damn, pizza is a staff of life. Without pizza and other fine Italian foods, there would be no happiness, okay? One slice left, garlic, linguica, and pineapple. Plus, there was nothing in Muscovich's stomach, so it was the killer's eats.
Hell of a clue. You better write that one up for the journal.
I will, Lou.
I like that his lead was all food based. That's
right.
All.
Yeah, that was good.
You fat fuck. Come on. Hey, Johnny Goodman, talk about Italian food.
It's like linguine, not linguine.
Did we already pass the scene where we saw that, Ada Turturro was in the police room with them, who's obviously Gandolfini's sister in The Sopranos.
Yes, I'm not sure, but I'll take your word for it. Yes,
there's a couple of scenes.
Actually, she was back. She was the one that he asked about the riddle.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I think she sets the record for working with Gandolfini the most from all the different films that they did together. And I got to talk to her at Chiller, and gosh, she was unbelievably friendly. Very,
that's cool to hear.
Very, and well, not only when she hugged me, it was almost like, you know, almost like with, like, you know, like a lover or something. So she was very friendly. More than that, I had to...
How do you know she wasn't cruising for dick?
Maybe.
Cruising!
Maybe. And I think I could have gotten some.
She was cruising like Al Pacino.
And of course... And of course, I commented because she was wearing something low cut that she didn't have her Rolling Stone tit tat that she had on every single episode of the Sopranos. and talked about how she was very close to him and how they'd worked so many times together. Because, you know, whenever I meet a celebrity, I like to talk about people that died.
I like, you know, the comfortable things.
Right.
I like it,
brightens
Jeremy.
It up.
Jeremy, you're a master of getting people in the mood to just open up and share things. That's
damn
what I
right.
like the best
you're
about
like,
you.
You're like Gerardo.
Yeah.
Gerardo.
You're like Harambe. Very, very similar.
Geraldo or Harambe. So.
No, I said it correctly.
I don't know. Who's Gerardo?
Never mind.
Geraldo.
Oh,
I Geraldo. Think is what it is. Kill Geraldo. Yeah. So next, Jonesy and Hobbs, they go and meet with the linguist so they can analyze the tape and
the
find
linguist!
Out what he was saying. Welcome to The Linguist, a whole other spinoff movie.
Which
also,
this guy is like no fucking help.
Yeah, this guy is so useless. He basically says like, they're speaking a 2,000-year-old dead language. It's like Syrian Aramaic. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. He's just like, well, can you fucking tell us? It would be really great.
Right.
Yeah, if you give me a tape or whatever, I'll bring it back so I can look it up in the book. Stay!
Because they had no audio of it. They had no audio of this language.
Don't mind me. I'm going to go back and go look up the old letters so I can translate it for you. I'm the linguist.
This is Gilbert Gottfried's greatest role. So.
The hardest thing about understanding this is I have to use my Iago voice from 100,000 years ago.
He says he's gonna fuck you every way he can and fuck your family.
So
I'm Iago.
Hobbs says that Reese was a lefty when playing basketball back in the day, but before he died, he was a righty. So he's noticing some discrepancies between his behavior early in life and later when he was a murderer. They then get a call from the killer, giving Hobbs and Jonesy the exact address of this new murder that we just heard about. So we're at the murder scene now. It's very similar to the last. Hobbs pulls back a mirror, finds another riddle that says, ... equal signs, look in the mirror. Ooh.
Well, at least he's starting with the man in the mirror.
This one was only stabbed twice instead of 18 times. Denzel notices that the guy he saw the other night, this is the same guy that he saw who was trailing him the other night. So things are pretty creepy. The stage is set. And I think that's going to bring us to an end of episode one of Fallen. Believe it or not, we're going
to
do a whole another hour on this, boys and girls.
Well,
are you
to
guys
wait
ready?
For the other song for the next episode.
Yeah, we're going to do other song.
I didn't do two songs for this
don't
episode.
Don't spoil it all for them. Blake, where can people catch like Ammo Green and shit like that at? Where's your next gig? What's the next get up, bro?
Well, we have, we have Instagram. We have Facebook.
Ooh.
And also we have a website. It's just www.ammogreen.com. Check that out. Music is there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not playing. I don't think we have anything booked as of right now for this month, but probably soon in early September.
Okay. Early September. Go check out Ammo Green. Do you know what state you'll be in the state of Maryland, do you think? Or where are you guys... You know, just check out the Instagram and all that shit. Fucking get on there. He's playing the toms. He doesn't know the fucking dates. He's just going to be there, okay?
Easy
so
that
you
way.
Figure that shit out. Jeremy, you can... Baby Eater. Quick plug for Baby Eater, Jeremy. What do you got?
You know, 15% of it is in the can. We still need a lot of money for actors and effects and just to get a good cameo, for God's sake. Please GoFundMe.com/Baby Eater.
Yeah, go check that out. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. The second Saturday shit show is free every second Saturday of the month at the Auto Bar, hosted by Kimberly Callahan and Mike Quinlan, my counterparts, my friends. Drop us a 5-star rating on the iTunes and the Stitcher. We'd really appreciate it. It means the world to us. Costs you nothing. Jeremy, take us out.
Hey, this is very, very Tony Soprano in the Fallen, everybody.